Today, we'd like to see the title of the Lord's reigns in Psalm chapter 79 through 101. To the souls on this online world through YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three exposition questions. Number one, in chapter 97, verse 2, clouds and darkness surround him, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2. In chapter 99, verse 1, the Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. What does it mean in this context, and what can we learn from here? Last question. In chapter 100, verse 3, know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. What does it mean, and how can you apply this to our lives? In the last time, Psalm chapter 96, verse 13, before the Lord for His coming, to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. The Lord will judge the earth in righteousness, separating people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Concerning the Messiah, the prophecy, the Lord is coming to reign over the earth, to judge the world and its people with truth and righteousness. A truly glorious day. Cross reference right there. Chapter 97, verse 1. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude isles be glad. The psalm is often understood as a millennium psalm, chapter 97, because it looks ahead to the time when Jesus returns to establish God's kingdom on the earth. It anticipates the reign of Christ, pointing forward to that future day when He will rule in righteousness. In this context, the isles are commonly interpreted as referring to the Gentile nations. Similarly, in the second psalm, which also speaks of the kingdom age, the Lord declares in Psalm 2a, ask of me, and I will give you the nations of your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession, emphasizing that Christ's reign will extend over the entire earth. Verse 2, question 1. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. The clouds and darkness surrounding God symbolize His unapproachable holiness and humanity's inability to fully behold Him. When Jesus returned to the earth, this same imaginary marked the first order of events, the judgment of the nations. God will gather all nations before Him and separate them, a shepherd separate the sheep from the goats. Thus, His coming begins with a solemn day of judgment characterized by darkness and clouds before He establishes His righteous reign. So this is a cross reference right there. Then verse 3 to 5. A fire goes before Him and burns up His enemies round about. His lightning lights the world. The earth seethes and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Moses reminded Israel of their encounter with God at Horeb, where they stood before the Lord at Mount Sinai and witness His awesome presence. fire blazing to the heavens, with darkness, cloud, and thick gloom surrounding him, so that they might learn to fear him and teach their children. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. So right there. Then similarly, David described the majesty and powers of God's presence in terms of consuming fire, the cloud, thunder, and the lightning, portraying his righteousness, judgment against his enemies. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 9 to 15, right there. Then these expressions reveal the overwhelming holiness and authority of God. In the same way, when Jesus Christ returns to establish his kingdom, his coming will be accompanied by judgment consuming fire against his adversaries. Scripture teaches that this will occur during the time of unprecedented global distress known as the Great Tribulation, Matthew chapter 24:21, Great Tribulation, culminating in the gathering of the nations for the final conflict at Armageddon 16:16, Revelation, and that opposing forces destroying them by the brightness of his coming and establishing his righteous millennium reign over the earth. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. So, verse 6, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. As God judges the earth, the reason becomes evident when we look at widespread wickedness present in the world. In the midst of this judgment, Scripture describes the voices from under the altar crying out, "Holy and true are your judgments, O Lord," affirming that his actions are just and righteous. This declares that God's judgment is not arbitrary, but a holy, rightful response to sin. Revelation chapter 6, 9 to 10, when he opened the people's seat, I saw under the altar the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held, and they cried with loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge, avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Revelation 16:7. I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Verse 7, let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols, worshipping all your gods. Idolatry is ultimately giving one's highest loyalty to something other than God, for no one lives without purpose, motivation, or devotion. Everyone serves something. One day, however, all people will stand before God in His glory, and the earthly goals and accomplishments will be seen for what they truly are, often revealing the emptiness of misplaced pursuits. Scripture explains that when people reject the truth and refuse to love it, God gives them over to strong delusion so that they believe what is false rather than what is true. This results in a tragic reality that even intelligent mind can embrace error when they turn from God, demonstrating how deeply human thinking can be distorted apart from the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11, Romans 1:21-25, that just reference. Verse 8, Zion hears and is glad, and daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgment, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Verse 10, you who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. A sincere desire to please God leads to a transformation in which one's desires become aligned with his, loving what he loves and hating what he hates. Since God is holy and pure, those who truly worship and serve him will naturally develop a corresponding hatred for evil. Although the world often promotes tolerance of wrongdoing, Scripture calls believers to reject and oppose evil, reflecting the character and holiness of God. Light is a song for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Verse 12, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. The call for those who will reign with Christ in his kingdom is to hate evil, trusting that the Lord will preserve their soul and deliver them from the power of the wicked. In doing so, they will participate in his perfect kingdom, giving thanks and living in righteousness and peace under his reign. Chapter 98, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The new song, we are called to sing with a new or fresh heart. To the Lord celebrate the end, rejoice in the marvelous works and mighty deeds that God has accomplished, reflecting gratitude and awe for his power and faithfulness. Verse 2, the Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. This psalm focused on the kingdom age, and the next three psalms continue this theme, inviting us to envision the time when the Lord reigns over the earth and all creation rejoices in his rule. Understanding God's goodness and victories he has accomplished, nature prompts a response from us. The proper order is always God as the initiator, as a humanity, as the responder. We do not lead so that God can act. Rather, we recognize his works of salvation, righteousness, or faithfulness, and respond in worship, gratitude, and obedience. Verse 3, he had remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpet and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. Musical instruments may be used to sing songs joyfully for worship. 7-8, let the sea roar all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. Now God calls on creation itself to rejoice, as the scripture declares. Let the trees of the field clap their hands, calling all of nature to celebrate his works and his salvation. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12. Then verse 9, before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth, with righteousness he shall judge the world, and the people with equity. We will rejoice because the kingdom age has come, a time when the Lord will judge the earth with righteousness and govern the people with equality. This is a season of salvation, gladness, reflecting the righteousness and equity of God's reign. Chapter 99, verse 1, question 2. The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He dwells between the cherubim, let the earth be moved. This psalm is a song of praise, looking forward to the coming of God to rule over his people. The cherubim, a high rank of mighty angels, are described in Scripture as guardians and ministers of God's presence. God chose to dwell between the cherubim, and in the design of the tabernacle, he provided a model of these heavenly realities on the earth, reflecting his glory and presence among his people. Cross reference right there. First, the Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. This is the reign of Christ, who rules over the earth, with his throne established in Israel and Mount Zion. From Zion, his authority extends over all the ends of the earth. We honor him not only with our words, but also through the way we live. God reigns from Mount Zion, and acknowledging his authority with reverent praise reflect our recognition of his sovereign rule and holiness. First, let them praise your great and awesome name, his holy. Everyone should praise God's great awesome name, for his name represents his nature, character, and reputation. Scripture also reveals the name of the true God. God is a title, describing his nature and position. But his personal name is Yahweh or Jehovah, though exact pronunciation is uncertain. Verse 4, the king's strength or the love of justice. You have established equity. You have exacted justice and righteousness in Jacob. Just and all that dwells in it belong to the Lord. Christ the King, who will reign over the earth, delights in justice. While human judicial systems are often corrupt today, when the Lord reigns, his judgment will be perfectly righteous and equitable. Verse 5, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. God's holiness and awe inspiring, terrifying for sinners, whether source of comfort for living. For in worshiping him, we are lifted from the mire of sin. He is morally perfect, completely set apart from people and from all sin, without weakness or flaw. As we place our faith in him, we are made holy, and all our exaltation and worship flow naturally as a response to his perfect character, divine nature. Verse 6. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. These men serve as classic examples of individuals who earnestly prayed and called upon the Lord, and who received his faithful response. Verse 7, he spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. God fulfilled his promise in testimonies or ordinance. Verse 8, you answered them, O Lord our God, you were to them God who forgives. Though you took a vengeance on their deed, God disciplines without, yet he always offers forgiveness. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. God is holy, and we are called to worship and exalt him. A theme that is emphasized repeatedly in verses 5 and 9. 100 chapter, Psalm, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. The Psalm calls us to worship, serve, approach the Lord with reverence, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Verse 3, last question 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God is our creator. We did not make ourselves, yet many live as if they are center of their own world, a mindset that fosters greed and selfishness. When we recognize God as the creator, we are moved to give to others as He has generously given to us. Even if we lose everything else, we still have God and the blessings He provided. 2 Corinthians 9:8-9. Always having all sufficiency in all things, may abundance for every good work. As is written, He has dispersed the poor, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. So, that's a reference. First of all, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, and be thankful to Him and bless His name. Humanity was created by God, not evolved by chance, placing us in a glorious position as His workmanship. This understanding underlies the first Thanksgiving, a day set aside annual to remember God's goodness and blessed Thanksgiving holiday, talking about that here. Though life includes hardships and trials, there is always abundant reason to give thanks. One of the charges God brings against the world in Romans 1:21. That people are not thankful. Only God is truly worthy of worship. Do you come into God's presence willingly, joyfully, or are you merely going through the motions attending worship reluctantly? Verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. If you feel I want to give thanks, but I don't know what to be thankful for, remember that the Lord is good, that the Lord is a reason to give thanks. His mercy lasts forever, and His truth endures through all generations. These truths are always a cause for thanksgiving. Last chapter 101. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. This is a Psalm of David that describes the perfect king and perfect kingdom, reminding us not only to avoid wrongdoing, but also to follow standards God set for righteous living. Psalm 45, that reference. God has placed within our hearts a desire to grow and be holy, and through the works over His Spirit, we are gradually being confirmed to the image of Christ. Romans 8:29, cross reference. The Spirit empowers and strengthens us to become what God intends. And though the process is lifelong, we can rejoice in progress. We are no longer what we once were, and day by day we are becoming more like Jesus. These are the truths and the transformations I will celebrate and sing about in praise to God. 2-4, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Or when will you come to me? I will work within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know the wickedness. David strayed from God's righteous path in his actions with Bathsheba and her husband, reflecting the perverse desires of his heart. Though he later repented, his idols and the way he spoke of righteousness often contrasted sharply with the reality of his own behavior. This tension highlights how human heart can conceive noble intentions yet act in ways that fall short, reminding us of God's patient dealings with flawed individuals like David. Verse 5, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. regarding haughty and proud heart. Solomon highlights things that God hates, including a proud look. Proverbs chapter 6, 16-17. Verse 6, my eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. David said he would keep his eyes on the faithful of the land. Likewise, we should focus on those who are faithful to God and his words. 7-8, he who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Only I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. As I mentioned, David may be expressing his own desires and ideals, but in reality he is pointing to the righteous rule of Jesus Christ when he comes again. The kind of justice and government David longed for will be fully realized when Christ establishes his reign of the earth. What David hoped to see in his lifetime will be perfectly fulfilled in Jesus' millennial kingdom. So we covered all three questions, continue to keep on prayer, all missionary prayers over there on manuscript there. So let's sing all together Maranatha song on brochure.